all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to know that the goodness of God is following you, or like we were singing, it's running after you. Praise God. I'll tell you what, that excites some of you, not quite sure, but I'll tell you what, get excited about it. Amen. God loves you. He's got a great plan. But folks, how many of you know his plan is not automatic? You know, we have a part to play. We have things that we must do, and we must conduct ourselves before the Lord. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and today I'm going to call this message, Stir Up the Gift. Stir up the gift. It is time to get stirred up, because I'll tell you what, there is a massive attack upon the body of Christ not to be stirred up. Oh, I'll tell you what, these days upon the earth ahead may get dark, all right? We know they already are dark. They may get darker. I'll tell you what, though, and that might sound like doom and gloom, but it's not, because that's an opportunity for us to shine brighter and brighter. Amen. And I'll tell you what, as more and more this world descends into darkness, there's going to be people in this earth that are looking for someone that can provide answers, someone that can give them eternal hope, to see somebody who's living above it and beyond it, who's not just, you know, in the mire and in the ways of society. Let's be different. Amen? Now, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, of course, the last couple weeks, I've been teaching on the subject of faith. And a couple of weeks ago, I started with a message called Fight the Good Fight of Faith. And we went over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, where it says, endure hardness like a good soldier. Endure hardness, all right? It didn't say that life was always going to feel good. And when you're in a fight of faith, your faith is going to be challenged with circumstances that sometimes are beyond your control. And the goal isn't always to feel good. The goal is to stay faithful. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we took a look at what it means. The scripture compares us to the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer, all right? All very disciplined professions, you could say, and ones that stay up to it. You know, the farmer realizes that life is all about sowing and reaping. And that's what it means to fight the good fight of faith, to keep sowing, even when it looks like nothing is growing. All right. And by sowing, I'm not talking about just giving finances. That's not what we're referring to. We're talking about sowing good decisions. You made a good decision to be in church today. Those that are serving in the ministry of helps, they made a good decision. They're sowing that time and that effort. You know, you got up, you made sure that you're in the house of God. You know, we praise, we worship. Yes, we bring our tithes and our offerings. We love one another. We're forgiving others. We're making good decisions, right? Because the good fight of faith is to keep sowing those godly decisions, even when it appears to be very difficult to do so. All right. And then last week I taught a message called The Legacy of Faith. What will you be known for? Amen. And we saw that there's a few things that will shape our legacy, or how we are known for our love for God or not. And we said the number one thing that will form your legacy is the sacrifices that you make for the Lord. You will be known by the things that you give up for God. Amen. The second thing we said, you'll be known for your testimony, which means how you conduct your life behind closed doors, how you're living when no one else can see you. That's the real you. That's the relationship that you have with God. And then lastly, last week we said the inconvenience factor. Are you willing to be inconvenienced for God? Abraham left everything that he knew to go into a strange land, right? Of course, Noah inconvenienced himself for 100 years in the building of an ark, and he did it because the Bible said he reverenced the message of God. He reverenced what he heard. God spoke and said, there's something coming. And so what happened? Noah got to work. Well, in the same way, folks, I'm here to tell you Jesus is coming, and it's time to get to work. Amen. Praise the Lord. And today we're calling this message, Stir Up the Gift. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 5. We're going to read down through verse 8. I'm going to read in the King James Version. I may pull up the Amplified here at some point. Let's read the passage and then we'll jump in. It says this, Paul, of course, this is the last letter that Paul the Apostle ever wrote before he was beheaded at Rome. These are some of his last words. You know, history teaches us that Paul died about 3 days after writing this, all right? And he writes to his beloved spiritual son, Timothy, who is a pastor, who is now in the severe temptation to quit, to stop following God. The society around him had become very dark and evil. His beloved Paul, the Apostle Paul, was in jail, was about to be executed. Everything in Timothy's life looked like it was coming crashing down. And these are the words of the Holy Ghost through Paul the Apostle right before he died. He says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in you also." Notice that faith does pass through the generations. Notice that your faith is not just something that is taught in your home. It is something that is caught in your home. Your children will catch your spirit of faith. Amen. It will pass down. Oh, praise the Lord. If you want kids that skip church yourself. You want kids that don't pray yourself. You want kids that talk with profanity yourself. You want kids that grow up drinking alcohol and go to the bar, do those things yourself. You want kids that grow up watching bad entertainment, do those things yourself. Woo! But if you want kids that are on fire for God, let them see you praising in the house of God for themselves. Let them see you faithful in the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. And so notice this. And even if you have grown children that seem to be wayward, your actions, mom and dad, are still speaking to their heart. Stay faithful, because there will come a day they will turn to you. They will need those answers, and you'll be ready to provide it. And you will simply say what a pastor says to a church: "I was here the whole time." And when a parent says that to a child, "I was here waiting for you," just like God says to us all the time. If we're wayward, his hands are open to us. Let's not wait any longer. Praise God. So he says to Timothy, he said, "I know that that unfeigned faith that was in your grandma, that it was in your mother, is in you too." He's having to remind Timothy, because Timothy doesn't feel that way. All right, in verse 6, he says, "Wherefore, I put you in remembrance, Timothy, that you stir up the gift." Everyone say, "Stir up." Stir up. Right, and you got the message last night. How many of you got the text message? You better stir up your faith before this world shakes you down. Amen. And that's exactly what he's telling Timothy. You better get your faith to a level, because there's something coming that your faith is going to need to carry. And if that thing is placed upon your shoulders with faith that is unprepared, it will squash you. He says, "Stir up the gift of God, which is in you, by the putting on of my hands." Of course, Paul laid hands upon Timothy at his ordination. But the gift that he's talking about here is not just the pastoral office upon Timothy, but it's also the gift of faith. All right, it's the gift of faith. Look at verse 7. He says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." He says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." See what this great man of God was going through? Timothy was starting to feel downright ashamed for even being a Christian. He wanted to hide. He wanted to give up. He wanted to let go of his faith, because fear was moving in. He was going to give up his ministry, all this stuff. He says, "Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be you a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." He said, can you bring it up in the Amplified? I like how the Amplified puts it. Look at this. He says, "Take your share of the suffering to which the preaching of the gospel may expose you, and do it in the power of God." He said, you don't preach the gospel, Timothy, to be popular. We don't stay faithful to be popular. Folks, if your desire in this life is just to be well-liked by anybody, then you're not going to be a faithful believer. right. Now let's go back up to verse 5 and let's start getting some things out of this. Of course, you know, coming up in verse 6, he tells Timothy, I put you in remembrance, stir up that gift. Stir up that gift. Or, like in verse 5, he's talking about that unfeigned faith. Yes, all right. Now, in verse 5, he uses that word. He says, I call you to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you. Notice this. The word unfeigned, it means sincere and without hypocrisy. Sincere and without hypocrisy. Oh, praise the Lord. All right. So we have to know that right off the bat, that he's talking to someone that's very sincere. Now, in verse 6, he tells this sincere man, he said, stir up your faith. Stir up the gift of God that's in you, okay? Notice this, that even sincere, God-loving people have to stir up their faith. They have to stir it. It doesn't matter how sincere you are, what a nice, sweet personality you have, how much you're in church, how much you serve, you still have to stir up the gift. You can say, well, I don't ever hurt anybody. I even bring donuts to the office every Monday morning. I cheer people up. I give them Christmas cards. You might be a sincere, wonderful person, but you can be sincere without being stirred up. All right? All right. The illustration that I think of is I think of a cake that is made from scratch. And trust me, you don't ever want me to make a cake for you. All right? I don't know how to bake. I don't know how to cook. Unless putting Eggo waffles in the toaster counts, then I'm your guy. I can make a mean peanut butter and jelly sandwich, all right? Woo, all right. But, you know, when they make a real fancy cake from scratch, they start with the finest ingredients, right? You have the freshest eggs. You know, you could have refined sugar. You know, or you could have even stevia these days or whatever, but probably not in a cake. Works good in your drinks, but not in a cake. You could have refined sugar, the freshest eggs. You could have purified flour, everything that's great. And just because you put those ingredients in a bowl doesn't mean you're gonna bake anything great. All right? How many of you know that without being stirred, that thing is going to go nowhere? All right, without giving it some movement, without putting some things to action. This is the picture of a lot of Christians in the body of Christ today. They are sincere, they are sweet, they are precious, they go to church, they love God, they're the nice people at work, you know, they're forgiving. Let's hope this is true. Glory to God. They have all the ingredients, but they're not stirred. They're not stirred up. Amen. And what we mean by that, go down to verse 6. He tells them, he says, I call you to remembrance the unfading faith that's in you. Verse 6, he gives them the instruction. He says, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God. Are you ready for this definition? Yes. The word stir up here, it means to literally fan the flames. Amen. It means to fuel the fire. Can you bring this up in the Amplified? I love this definition, way this verse is written in the Amplified. He says, this is why I would remind you, Timothy, stir up, rekindle the embers, fan the flames of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by the means of the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination. Notice this, that we all have got an inner fire. Yes. But notice whose job it is to fan those flames. Oh, see, this Christian life with God, it is like a fire that constantly needs to be fed. It constantly needs to be fanned. And you can sit there with all the right ingredients. You can, you know, have the most wonderful personality. You can be extremely talented. You could even serve with all your heart, but if you don't stay stirred up, fanning the flames of the inner fire of God to be passionate about prayer, passionate about worship, passionate about the things of God, folks, just know this, there is a dark cloud on the land right now. And there is a dark cloud that is trying to sit upon the body of Christ to make everybody indifferent about the things of God. That is not going to happen here. That is not going to happen with you and I, because we are going to be of those that fan those flames. Fan the flames for the word. Fan the flames for the Spirit of God. Fan the flames for praise and worship. I'll tell you what, the stuff that's taking place in our society right now is very, very dark, from the top all the way down. It's absolutely true. Our nation has decided to call good evil. Our nation has decided to call evil good. I'll tell you what, someone somewhere has got to be on fire. When the generation around us is so cold and indifferent, we've got to be the ones that are stirred up. Praise the Lord. See, everyone likes a fire. You know, campfires, bonfires. You don't like it in your home unless it's in the fireplace, right? All right. But see, everyone wants the campfire. Everyone wants the bonfire. Everyone wants all the things associated with that. But nobody wants to gather up the wood. Gathering up the wood is the non-glamorous side of having the fire. You know, of course, you know that in our church picnics in the past up at the Hofer's place, and we've always had those bonfires and things. You know, we all love to go and eat around that fire and fellowship around that fire and all those things. But nobody saw when Pete and maybe a few others were working hard, right, putting that wood, building that huge pile. Because the gathering of the wood is the non-glamorous part, but the dark is coming.
Right.
Why do you gather firewood? Because the darkness is coming, because the coldness is coming, and you don't want to be trying to, you know, rush to catch up when it's time for when those things come. Amen. In the same way, see, our prayer life doesn't always feel spectacular. But what are you doing when you're praying? When no one else is, you're gathering wood. You're gathering wood. You know, when you're meditating in the word, when very few people are doing that, what are you doing? You're gathering up wood. Why? Because you know the darkness is coming. You know the cold is coming. Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. This was something that just came up in my spirit as I was meditating in the word. The future belongs to the ones that will stir up the gift. The future belongs to those that will stir up the gift. For those that stay dormant, those that stay just still and stagnant in the things of God, when it comes time for the last day revival, those people would be on the sidelines. The future belongs to those who will have gathered up the wood, because there's coming a day when God is going to light a fire.
Amen.
And only the ones that are stirred up about the things of God are going to participate. Do not forget this. The next revival is going to be a revival out of intense darkness. Intense darkness is coming to this world. It has started. It is, you say, oh my goodness, Pastor, don't say this. I know and understand, I'm not the preacher that's going to stand before you and give you the feel-good homily. I'm not that guy. I'm going to tell you the truth.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what the Spirit of God is saying, and the Spirit of God is saying that there's intense darkness coming upon our land, intense darkness that is coming upon society, and it will be those that have gathered up the wood that are going to burn the brightest, those that have stirred themselves up, fan the flames, because when the revival pops off, people are going to be looking at those people, right? Why does someone go to a bonfire? To watch it burn. Why are going to be people going to be drawn to you? Because they see an inner fire within you. Someone that's passionate about God, someone that's living right, someone that's in church, someone that's a giver, someone that's a forgiver. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just because you have the ingredients doesn't mean something great's going to happen. You've got to fan the flames. You know, when you're there behind closed doors and you're just feeding on the word, what are you doing? You're fanning the flames. When you're in church and you're lifting your hands and shouting praises, what are you doing? You're fanning the flames. In the days where church is now becoming an online facility, I'll tell you what, this nation, our world, needs more than ever before Christians that are in the house of God, on fire for God. You know, that they look upon their home life as an extension of their relationship with the Lord. That they want their home life in order. They want their marriage to be successful because they want it to be a reflection of the goodness of God. Amen. They want God to be honored. Folks, I'm telling you, the days are going to come where you don't have time to fight in your marriage. You don't have time to bicker and fight and to complain and let things get out of order. See, down to verse 6 now. Even sincere people can neglect the gift of God in their life if they don't stir it up. Like I said, this describes much of the modern day body of Christ. See, the next revival is a revival from intense darkness. The stirred people will be called on to rekindle and to fuel the fire. Amen. Glory to God. Yes. Prayer time. You know, word time, you know, being in church, being faithful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, and today what we're going to do, we're going to talk about three things that will happen or three things that we will get if we don't stay stirred up. All right. Are you ready for this? Praise the Lord. All right. Go down there to verse 7. You can go ahead and leave it in the Amplified. That will be just fine. Now, why was Paul telling Timothy, stay stirred up? Why was he saying, keep the fire burning, make sure you fan the flames? Look at verse 7. He said, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, or the word timidity is the word fear. Here's what happens when a Christian starts to let go of fanning the flames, who doesn't stay passionate about their life with Christ. All of a sudden, their faith moves out and fear moves in. All of a sudden, they start becoming afraid of things that they wouldn't have been afraid of. If you're wondering what coronavirus did to the body of Christ when it came on the scene, it revealed the fact that many were not fanning the flames. Because when the darkness came and when the fear came, right, there was no boldness to keep it out. Now, folks, when I say that, that doesn't mean, you know, it was wrong to make provision to protect yourself or whatever you wanted to do. But I'll tell you what, I saw a lot of Christians downright terrified. Oh, yes. Terrified. If you can't handle that, if you can't handle a germ, I'm telling you, in the world, doesn't have to be in the church, there's coming a lot worse, bigger things than that. There's going to be a lot of other fires that you're going to have to, you know, burn brighter than that. Because what happens as soon as a Christian stops fanning the flames, see, all of a sudden you have no more boldness. And all of a sudden faith moves out. That's what's happening to Timothy. Paul's saying, Timothy, keep the flames burning. Because your sincere faith is just not stirred up. And it's moving away from you. And fear is now moving into you. Don't be afraid that you've heard that I'm in prison. Sure. Don't be afraid of what you hear they're doing to Christians. Right. Don't you be afraid of what sicknesses may come upon this earth. Right. Don't you be afraid of what financial disasters, you know, may incur. I'll tell you what. Oh, goodness Lord. Goodness Lord. I'll tell you, in one way, these will be the most trying times, but for those that'll be stirred up, this will be the best time to be a Christian. Yes. You will get to lead the most souls to Christ. You will get to be the greatest influence. Don't you be the frozen chosen that just sits there like a bowl of eggs, sugar, and flour. What if I did that? Say, hey, I baked you a cake, and I gave you a bowl, and you looked in there, and there's just some egg yolks, a pile of sugar and flour. Say, I baked you a cake. You say, no, you didn't. You didn't stir it, and you didn't put any heat to it. All right? Well, so many Christians said, well, here I am. I'm standing in church. Yeah, well, you didn't stir it and you didn't put any heat to it. Come on now. All right. Three things that we'll get if we don't stir up our faith. Are you ready? Number one, timid believers. You're right. There's nothing worse. Let me just show you this. Can you bring up Hebrews 2:14 for us? You don't need to turn there in your Bibles. Let me just show you something. I bring up this verse quite often. If you've been around here for a while, we look at Hebrews 2:14 and 15 all the time. It says, for as much then as the children Do we have any children here today? Let's talk about the children of God. We are partakers of flesh and blood. Isn't that correct? Did anyone bring your flesh and blood here today? Glory to God. All right. It's talking about us. Now it says, he also, meaning Jesus, himself likewise took part of the same, that through physical death and spiritual death, Jesus would destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. I've got good news today. The wicked witch is dead. Yeah. All right. You know, the house landed on her and the toes curled up. Remember that? How many of you know that the devil is defeated? He's defeated right now. All right. And when Christ died and rose again, there was something that he delivered us from that the devil used to keep us subject or in bondage to him. Look at this. Verse 15. It says, and Jesus delivered us, them, let's talk about us, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Humanity is made a slave to the devil through fear, starting with the fear of dying. That's what coronavirus was about. It showed the world how terrified everyone is of death. But you know what I'm gonna say, but for the Christian, right? You can't kill me. You can only make me more alive. All right. And in the words of Obi-Wan Kenobi, strike me down and I shall become more powerful than you could possibly imagine. Listen, you have to understand as a believer, okay, first of all, you're promised long life on this earth. Say, Pastor, prove it. Okay, how about Psalm 91:16? He will satisfy you with long life and show you his salvation. How about Exodus 23:25-ish, right? When he says, the full number of your days should he fulfill. The full number of your days. What is it? 1 Peter 3:10, who will love life and see many good days? Many days. Let him refrain his tongue that he speak no evil, his lips that he speak no guile, right? Amen. Right? God wants to give you long life. First of all, that's the first promise. And I'm just telling you here, that virus isn't going to take it away. But fear can. You know, the lack of health does not take it away. The lack of money doesn't take it away. Fear takes it away. The number one thing that Jesus came to give us was the blessing of Abraham and the deliverance from fear. Because fear is what keeps humanity under Satan's control. If you all of a sudden are fearless, you are untouchable. That's what meditation in the word is. Meditation is just insulation from fear. Insulation from fear. Glory to God. The last thing we need in these last days is timid believers. Folks, I am not going to get political. I am not a political guy. I am a pastor. I am not a Republican. I am not a Democrat. I am neither. I do not support, give to. I do not endorse political candidates or political parties. Certainly, they have messed up our nation. All right? You say, well, both of them have? Yes, both of them have. Not to say that one might not be better than the other. All right? Don't misunderstand me. And I know I've upset some people. You know, and I'm just going to say things real honest. When I spoke the words concerning this past election, you know, concerning the things of praying for the president, regardless if he was your choice or not, there was people that got downright offended. Listen, when the whole body of Christ was out there false prophesying that Trump would remain in office, there was a few of us that were hearing the voice of God and saying, no, sorry, that's not going to happen. You're going to get a president that you don't like, and it is your job and responsibility to pray for him. And that's exactly what happened, and I'm not here tooting my horn, you know, acting like I was right. I'm just saying this, you know, but because I said those things, there were some that got downright offended. Oh, yeah. There are some that are not here today that were with our church for years because they would rather for me to step up here and false prophesy and tell you something that was not going to happen. I won't do that. And those charlatans on TV that are, you should have nothing to do with them. If their prophecies are false, well, then now you know. There you go. It's just that simple. All this you know, all this, you know, to say that I'm not here to get political. I'm not here to offend anybody. You know, I'm just here to tell you the truth. You know, the things that are going on in our society right now, in terms of, you know, things politically, you know, the evil that is being wrought at this time, I'd love to stand up here and just tell you it's all going to get immediately better. All right? But it's not. Not at least, not in the short term. And we need Christians more than ever who are going to be stirred, who are going to be faithful, who put God first, who get on fire for the things of God, and are not timid. Because I'll tell you what, the timid believers are going to sit out on the sideline. Do not let that happen. All right? People who aren't stirred, people who aren't fueled, will lose their boldness. They will become timid. They will start to give in. They will give up. All of a sudden, churches will make their messages, you know, extremely easy to hear. You know, somewhere along the lines, there's got to be Christians on this earth who will say, sin is sin.
That's right, sure.
I'm not going to live in it. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. I'm going to stand with God. Even if it makes people just downright loathe you. Oh, those days are upon us. What happens with timid believers? They give up and they concede ground to worldly things. All right? They get into fear. And all of a sudden, like I said, that coronavirus and all that stuff, it just revealed how scared people are of dying and death. Listen, I'm telling you, there is something worse than getting sick, and that's being unfaithful. There's something worse than being sick, and that's being afraid. We are delivered from fear. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, you've got to know and understand, it's the fear that's there to destroy you. We should all know and understand from the word, I'm delivered from fear. Say, well, Pastor, I don't feel that way. But that's what this is. Fan the flames. Let that inner fire just meditate on this scripture. You'll come out of there. I mean, just about whistling with joy. I don't have to be afraid anymore. Glory to God. There's so many people that are so concerned with things politically, so concerned about this, they get afraid. I'm here to tell you, there's going to be a shaking upon this earth, whether in our lifetime or the next, meaning the next generation, however it works. There's coming a shaking upon this earth. There is going to be fruit that will come off the tree no other way except this earth get absolutely thrashed. And I know that's not a message others will tell you. They'd rather give you a motivational speech. But there's going to be things that shake in our society. All right? And you're going to have to stay stirred up. You're going to have to stay on fire. Because there's going to be things that you're going to be required to carry. All right? You know, this is a really lame illustration. Are you ready for another lame one? But I have a whole bunch of cardboard boxes all the time at the house, you know, and we can't just set our trash out the curb. I've got to haul it to the, you know, the dumpster and stuff like that. And there's always cardboard boxes. And, you know, I mean, some of them are big, and even though they're not heavy, they're extremely awkward and uncomfortable. And I finally, you know, got this idea. I'm like, why am I hauling all this cardboard? What would be the best thing to do since I live out in the country? Just burn it. You know, instead of trying to carry that awkward thing, just let the fire handle it. There's going to be so many things in your life that are going to come to try to hinder your life. The fire will handle it. The fire will handle it. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Don't be a timid believer. Don't be the one that's the first to get afraid. Amen. Don't be the first to lose your boldness, but be a person that stands for truth, that uses their faith. See, the devil uses fear to get a foothold into your life. And that's what Paul was telling Timothy. He said, God didn't give you that fear. The devil is going to get into your life, and he controls through fear. And so the less fear that the devil has to work with in your life, the least he can control you. Amen. Timid believers is the result if we don't stir up our faith. Folks, we're going through the summer here, but starting up again in for the Jamestown Church in October, we're going to have our Wednesday nights again. Folks, in September, we have Reverend Greer coming in. You know, at the end of the month, get stirred up, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Be at those places. You know, when we stay for prayer on Wednesday night, stay for prayer. Amen. Say, well, Pastor, I just don't like it. Yeah, you don't like gathering wood, but you like the bonfire. Yeah.
Very good.
Be somebody that will gather wood.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Here's the second thing. Now, you can go back over to 2 Timothy 1:6. Here's the second thing we get when we don't fan the flames, that inner fire. We get disconnected believers. Disconnected believers. Folks, I know and I understand, and believe me, the thoughts come to me, and as a pastor, you know, I go through those thoughts all the time, that there's ploys or things that preachers or pastors preach just to keep you in the church or to keep you in the seats. I give you my absolute word that I do everything I can to keep those ploys out. My job is to preach the word. And when I preach on this subject, it is not a ploy. It is something that is going around our nation right now like never before, where Christians don't know where they're connected in the body of Christ. You have to know where your place is in the vine or in the body. And you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says that in verse 18, it says, the Lord sets the members in the body as it pleases him. You've got to know where you're connected. What pastor is your pastor? What church is your church? You know, we don't just float around and treat churches like drive-through windows. We need to know where we're called, and we need to be connected there, right? Because we know that the strength is in the vine. We've got to be connected. We know that our fingers, right? The body can live without our hand, but our hand can't live without the body. In the same way, praise the Lord, that my church can live without me, but I can't live without my church. And it's going on all over the place today where people are just floating around chasing every other thing, but the fact of the matter remains that you need to know where you're connected in the body of Christ. And how do you know that? If you're not being fed the word of God, you don't have no business there. Why is this coming up? If they're not giving you the word, if they're not being bold, if people aren't being saved, if there isn't life in that place, then you need to find a place where you get fed and you get connected. And once we know we're in that right place, we give it our all. Amen. Which all of you are doing. I just believe that. Praise the Lord. You're doing a wonderful job. You're here on a summer day. You know, though God should be far more important to us than a summer day. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Disconnected believers. Go down to verse 8. Look at 2 Timothy 1:8. Look what he said. He said to Timothy, he said, therefore, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Notice that Timothy, who was brought into the body of Christ through the Apostle Paul, who now was raised up under him, is now being tempted to be ashamed of his spiritual leadership. Or you could say it this way, Timothy is going through a barrage about being disconnected from his spiritual leadership, right? Disconnected believers. All right, verse 8. People who won't stay stirred up will lose their loyalties. Timothy is sincere, but he is in danger of losing his connection to the one who started the fire within him in the first place. How many of you know that the fire that we have in our life for God, we didn't get it ourselves? Not only did we get it first from the Lord, but we also got it from men and women of God who have been faithful to God. And you hear me say it all the time. There are three men that absolutely formed the fire of God in my life, and without any of them, I would not be able to do what God has called me to do. One is my dad, two is my pastor, and three is Dr. Ed Dufresne.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And without those men, I know, and of course there's been, you know, other ministers that have contributed too, and please know this, that has nothing to do with the fact that they're just men. Thank God for people like Pastor Nancy Dufresne and for women that serve in the house of God too. I'm not discriminating, you understand. Nor am I trying to explain myself. I don't care what people think about such nonsense. I'm just very grateful that those three people, my dad, who's here today, my pastor, and Dr. Dufresne, if I did not have those men, I would not have the inner fire, so to speak. Praise the Lord. And so I understand that those are three men that I am going to be loyal to.
Yes.
And more than that, you understand, of course, there's my dad, there's my mom, my grandparents are in heaven, my family extended, I'm going to be faithful to them. You understand, but from a gratitude standpoint, that I understand that the life that I have with God did not come from myself. It came from the influence of those three men. Thank God, and I'm not going to disconnect from them. I'm not going to be unloyal to them. Dr. Dufresne is in heaven, but I'm still loyal to him.
Yes.
Glory to God. You know, I have my dad on this earth. I have my pastor on this earth. I'm very grateful for them. I'm not going to lose those connections. Oh, praise the Lord. I've known sincere, nice Christians who did not know how to stay loyal. You know, and again, this is not a ploy to keep you at family church. This isn't like a family church commercial. I'm just here to preach this principle because Timothy was going through it. Timothy was one of the greatest men of God in the New Testament. He was the most well-known pastor in the New Testament. You understand, in parts of the world, Timothy was far more well-known than Paul, his spiritual leadership. And now Paul is seeing it. Some of his last words to Timothy saying that fear is getting in and it's going to cause you to lose your faith, lose your boldness. You're going to become timid. Fear is going to move in. And then you're also going to start to move away from your connections. You're going to start to allow disloyalty in. And that's going to eat your lunch. It's going to eat you alive. We don't need disconnected believers today. You need to know where you're called in the body of Christ. As a pastor, I see it all the time. People today think that being known for something unpopular is the worst thing that can happen to them. No, it's not the worst thing. It's not. You know, the worst thing that could happen to us is that we allow fear in, we lose our boldness, and we start to disconnect from where God has told us to be loyal. Amen. Are you getting something out of this here today? Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. Yes. Boldness is the ability to stand by the truth even when you know you will stand by yourself. Are you willing to stand by yourself if need be? Don't be timid. Don't get disconnected. And three, are you ready? Here's the third thing that we get when we don't stay stirred up. I'll tell you what, folks, in the days, weeks, months ahead, folks, let me just say this with all the sincerity that I can say. As a pastor, as the one that leads this church, let me tell you what, I need you to carry some wood.
Amen.
I need you to gather up some wood for the fire. God wants to use this church in a mighty, mighty way. Folks, I believe in the years ahead, and I'm just going to keep on saying this, that this church will be used with conjunction of others. Believe me, I'm not saying that we're the most elite or something like that, but I believe that this church will be used to literally put the gospel in the hands of every single person in this county and also in Erie County, Pennsylvania. Literally, that the Lord just keeps showing that we are going to be very instrumental. I'm not saying that all those people are going to be sitting here and in this building, but when we stand before the Lord, we will stand with a testimony that says we did everything we could to minister to the region around us, that we gave as many as possible a chance to be there in heaven. And we weren't just playing games. We weren't playing Pentecostal. We were playing true power. Amen. Glory to God, that we weren't just trying to act like a denomination. We weren't just trying to act charismatic, but because it was sincere and real and filled with the power of God. Amen. That should be our focus. That should be our goal. Yes. God wants to use it, wants to use our lives in this church, but he won't if we don't gather up some wood. So coming again, you know, later, starting in October, we're going to have our Wednesday nights. We're going to be praying. Please be there. Yeah, and this time around, the subjects won't be always prayer. We'll preach on other things and whatnot, but we are going to pray together. come and gather some wood. Amen. Folks, when you leave here today, when you're at home, get that devotional life back with God. Start fueling that fire, all right? And so that we come in here so that we're on fire when we come into church, not having to try to catch fire. Yes, absolutely. Don't let those carburetors go dry. You know, if you're ever trying to start an old car that's been sitting around forever, and if it's an old carbureted, you know, car, I mean, it'll just, you know, that dry carb will sit there and that motor will turn. It's because there's nothing in there to fire it up. Don't come in here as the dry carburetor. You know, have some fuel in the tank. Glory to God. And here's the third thing we'll get if we don't stay stirred up. We'll get doubt-talking believers. Number one, we'll get timid believers. Two, we'll get disconnected believers. And three, we will get doubt-talking believers. All right? We do not want to become that. Look down there. You're in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look down to verse 13. Look what he told Timothy here. He said, don't let the fear in. It'll make you timid. It'll disconnect you from your loyalties. And look at verse 13. He tells Timothy some of his last words he ever spoke to him. He said, hold fast the form of sound words. Why did he say that? Because that fear was coming to Timothy to get his voice. That fear was coming into Timothy's life to try to program his words. What do you think the trials upon our nation have been? What do you think the trials upon our nation are right now? Oh, boy. I got to watch how I say this because you're going to think that I'm just, you know, here to be political or problematic or something like this. Folks, let me just say this. And I say it from the standpoint that we need to help with our faith. We have the most incompetent leadership in our nation in the history of the United States of America. And I'm not just talking about the one who's at the top. I'm not just talking about the one who's sitting in the Oval Office. I'm talking about overall in this nation. We have the highest percentage of truly incompetent evil people than ever before. You want to know who you are in history? You are the Romans. You are living under Caesar. And I'm not trying to stir you up. Don't you leave here saying, well, I'm going to just go and I'm going to get on Facebook and tear up the president or something. No, that's not what I'm saying this for. I'm saying this so you know and understand your responsibility as believers. You need to pray for this president. You need to pray for the ones that are around him because they are evil people. And I'm not saying it has nothing to do with gender. It has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with identity politics. It is the truth. And it's putting our nation in grave risk. All right, say, oh, my heavens, Pastor, you're going out there. You're going to get yourself in trouble. I'm not saying it as a politician. I'm saying it as a man of God. And there was a time in this nation when pulpits held leadership in accountability. And we absolutely are going to need to pray and to get together and gather some wood. Because that incompetence is putting people and our nation at risk. And the last thing that the body of Christ needs to be doing right now is just coasting and floating. Will you help gather some wood? Amen. Gather the wood. We don't need, he says, hold fast the form of sound words. The point I was going to say, even though it seems like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, I'm not. Because we have such incompetence in the leadership in our nation, the last thing our leadership needs is us running them down. Pastor, I can't find one good thing to say about them. That's not what I'm talking about. Hold fast the form of sound words, which you have heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Put the political parties aside. Put down your anger. Put down your, be careful on your news intake. Sit there and get stirred up by every, clickbait article headline. So many people say, did you see what happened? Did you see what happened? And the only thing they read was the headline. Don't do that. But the last thing leadership in this nation needs is us just speaking words of how horrible they are. When I get up here and tell you that things in this nation, there will be darkness that proceeds. I'm not saying that from a political standpoint. I'm not saying it to be negative. I'm saying that so that you're prepared. All right, I'm talking about personal insults. Our president doesn't need that. I'm not saying you vote for, the stuff they're believing in and things that they're doing. I'm not telling you what to do there. I'm just saying, listen, you can support somebody spiritually without supporting them politically. And that's what our country needs right now. There has got to be a big wake-up call. All of a sudden, you are Romans living in the days of Caesar. Our nation is now talking about the idea of sending people to your door to see whether... Now listen, if you decided to be vaccinated, I completely understand that. Everyone's in a different place. Everyone's got to make that decision. But when we are now starting to see... Folks, I'm not trying to be a conspiracy guy. Listen, the days are upon us. We are getting the test run for the mark of the beast. The vaccination is not the mark of the beast. It is not. But all of a sudden, now you're starting to hear big companies, they won't hire you unless you've been vaccinated. Universities will not accept you if you've not been vaccinated. Certain parks can't enter if you're not vaccinated. Baseball games, you got to sit over here. Now we're going to send somebody to your door to make sure. That is unlike anything we have ever seen before. They're saying that you will not be able to buy, sell, or trade without that shot. Oh, here we go. We got one of those end times preachers. That's exactly where we are. And I know you're not going to get this on the TV preacher. You're not going to get this in the newsletter from your ministry that you support. They're not going to put this in there. You know why? Because people tremble when they hear stuff like this. But I just got done teaching you that you're delivered from fear. Amen. You have to know and understand that those days are upon us. And folks, you better start teaching your kids. That's right. Teach them how to fan the flames. Yes. You better teach them to know and understand, not just from a patriotic standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint. We live free. Yeah. We live free in this nation.
Amen.
Amen. And because the next thing they'll be doing is knocking on your door saying, hey, do you have a Bible in the house? They're already going to knock on your door and say, hey, you got a gun in the house? Hey, knock on your door. Did you get the shot? Hey, knock on the door. By the way, give me that Bible. You understand that that is the progression of every society in the history of this country that has embraced these ideas. Say, oh my goodness, he's just a wild cannon up there. Nope. I will tell you the truth. You are living in the days where government is starting to impose the very things that the book of Revelation starts talking about. They're giving you an idea that their goal and desire is to control you so much. So what do? Let the fire handle it. Because there's nothing. They can't knock on your door and put out the fire. Amen. That there ain't no government on this earth that can stop me from praying in the Spirit. There's no government on this earth that's going to get this from me. There's no government on this earth that can stop me from gathering with you and worshiping the Lord. I'd rather lose my life than lose my church. Doubt talking believers. That'll be the result. They'll start talking. Paul told him, he said, hold fast the form of sound words. And again, I was using that in relation to how we talk about, you know, specific individuals. They need our faith. They need our prayers big time. You do not need to live a life of personally insulting politicians, all right? These things are upon us. We need to know and understand more than ever how to speak faith. He said, hold fast the form of sound words in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So your words should contain two things. They should be spoken in faith, and they should be spoken in love, right? Sounds a lot like Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying to the hearers, that it may minister grace to those that hear you. All right? This world needs to hear our faith. This world needs us needs to hear us saying, you know, Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous goes brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. The Lord is my refuge, my strong tower, my God in whom I trust. Angels go before me. They are given charge over me, lest I dash my foot against one stone. No evil befall me, no plague near my dwelling. We got to start living on faith, folks. Fan that flame. Get into the word. Stir up that inner fire. Amen. Doubt-talking believers. This world will not take it easy on those that keep saying, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. What if I get it? What if? Don't have enough money. Not going to make it. Those are not the words of a believer. Amen. Say, Pastor, you know, I just don't want to keep being corrected. Well, if we don't want to be corrected, then we don't want God's help. Because I don't know about you, but I need correction. It's not the things that I'm doing right that are hurting my life. It's the things we do that are wrong or the things that we miss. Amen. So what'll happen if we don't stir ourselves up? We'll just turn into timid believers. Boldness will move out, right? Fear will move in. We'll be dominated by every fear that comes upon this earth. The second thing that'll happen is that we'll disconnect from those that we're supposed to be loyal to. And three, we'll start talking doubt. Listen, I'm just going to tell you. Your future is not in the hands of the president of the United States right now. And you know what? If someone you like gets elected next, your future isn't in their hands as well. Yeah, there's going to be things that affect our society and stuff, and we pray for those things because, you know, there are souls at risk. I'm just saying for us individually. Amen. God has got so many promises for us to live on. We don't have to be afraid. But I tell you what, we better stir ourselves up. Will you help me gather some firewood in the months ahead? Amen. Start gathering wood at home. When it's time, gather some wood here. Come to our Wednesday nights when they open back up. Of course, we did semesters this year. It has nothing to do. We're not closed because of anything. Praise the Lord. Did you get some help here today? Yes. Glory to God. Stir up that sincere faith. Don't be the bowl of eggs, sugar, and flour. Good ingredients. Precious for sure. But not stirred. That's the body of Christ in so many places. They're precious, they're sincere, but they sit through life unstirred. At home, they're not fanning any flames of the inner fire. They're not praying before God. They're not seeking every opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. But not us. Our path goes brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Let us pray. Father God, we just love you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. We are going to be stirred up. Rekindle the embers. Fan the flame.